Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we are in our first Sunday here as just our church. We're not open to the community yet, unless they happen to walk in. They're more than welcome, and I do see a couple of faces, and that is a good thing. But today is our first Sunday here, and as you can see, we are yet under construction. How many of you like our altar today? It reminds me, and I hope it does you, of the process of our lives, that we are under construction. Can I get an amen, church? And in that construction, God is proving something to us, and that is the fact that God is good. And all the time, and we are going to continue in that truth and reality as we move into this wonderful community of Jonestown, and we share the love of Jesus Christ with all these wonderful folks. And I pray that the Lord would open the hearts of everyone to receive the heart of Christ, that we are here and we want to be a viable part of this community into the county and the rest of the world. Just as we were where we were planted, so too may we blossom here and in that serve our Lord. We are here because God's given us three commands, and we all know them, we proclaim them, and yes, you hear them every Sunday, and you will until the day the Lord calls me home or I retire. And Bob says, I'm not allowed to go. Don't do it. We are here to love God, love others, and go. They are the three commands that the Lord gave us. And in those three commands, all of the scriptures are summed up. That as we truly follow the word of God, loving in the manner that he has taught us, amen, church?
Amen.
Which is truth and wholeness and holiness, we will then love others in that same manner unto health and unto wholeness and unto the life of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we go into our world, whether it's at work, whether it is at play, or whether it is by purpose into our community to draw people into life. And today, we're going to continue in that. This is Memorial Day Sunday. And we are going to be in the book of Joshua in the fourth chapter. And I do apologize for the bulletin being in error because I forgot to write the rest of it in before I hit print. It is Joshua 4, 1 through 9. So you knew we were going to be in Joshua 4, but you had no idea where. So you may turn to that scripture and then hold your finger there, because I am going to be preaching from that into where we are. As we know, today, as I said, is Memorial Day Sunday. So as we look at this sermon topic, and you all know me, I am not one to preach on the holidays, but preaching on this holiday and its meaning gives me a platform, a wonderful platform, because we are to be living memorials of Christ Jesus and the work he has done in our life. And if we do not set up memorials, if we do not call upon these memorials, we will forget. That's why Memorial Day has been memorialized in our country. Why do we celebrate Memorial Day in the United States? We celebrate it because we recognize those men and women who have perished, who have gone on before us. Now, I need to ask my guys a question because I don't know if they were able to get it. Did we get the video, Ryan, or were we not able to pull that in? Ryan's not listening to me. Ryan, were we able to get that video? Nope. Okay. Again, it just a portion I wanted to use if we were able, and we were not, because in the video that I was shown to me, It speaks of why we do what we do. We remember the men and women who died, who gave their lives. We remember those who have served. And today, I would like to honor those who have served. If you have served in our military forces, if you have served in the VA, I would like you to rise up now that we may honor you and thank you for your service to this country. Please rise. Thank you for your service to our nation. We need to remember, we have one out there now who is serving, and we need to remember him in our prayers, and not just him, but his family who is here, and keep them in our prayers and be there for support for them, because it costs something. We celebrate Memorial Day not only because of the cost of life, but we need to remember what cost them their life. And that was war. Freedom has a cost. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And unfortunately, the cost of freedom is life. People will give up their lives for many things. But the one thing that human beings will definitely put their lives on the line for is freedom. Jesus taught us that, and that is why we are not chattel. We are of the created design. We have been given that ability to understand that life itself is very precious, and the freedoms that we have are inalienably given to us, not by government, but by God Almighty. Can I get an amen? And therefore, if we wish to have life in this world and live that life, we've got to be willing to give that life to that cause. And as I think of where we are and what we're doing, and as Christians, do we remember? And that's one of the things that scares me. You know, a lot of our World War II men are dying, and we're down to so few anymore. And are we going to remember? Well, you know, we still have the men from the Korean conflict. Notice they called it a conflict, not a war. Well, excuse me, when men are dying, that's a war. We have wars raging right now. Do we remember? Do we learn from these things? And today, that's what I want us to understand, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in our sins, so too are we. For we will repeat the things of our past if we don't remember and bring them forward. That's why our government made this day a national holiday, that we would not forget the cost of what it takes. And I want us to remember the cost of Christ, because he's the one that showed us the greatest cost. God himself died on our behalf that we may have life. That's the truth, and that truth has saved each and every one of us who is in him today. And there are many more that need to know that, because they're fighting a war right now. Would you agree with me on that? They are fighting a war within their very selves. How many of you still find yourself fighting that war even now when you're in Christ? Because you're constantly struggling with the old self, and the new self is trying to raise up and become anew and grow and take over areas in your life that you've not given to the Lord yet. And we all struggle with that. That's why we're under construction. And it's so amazing, because how many of you like that front wall? Isn't it pretty? Well, it isn't done yet. It looks good right now, but wait until it's done. It's going to be beautiful. But yet, if you come up here and look closely, what did we call that, Wayne? A 50-foot paint job. From 50 feet, it looks wonderful. But if you come up here and you start to look close, you'll see the imperfections that we weren't able to get out of the wall. But a day will come, a day will come, a day will come when we will be perfect in the sight of our Lord. Can I get an amen, church?
Amen.
But until that day, we have a work to do. And as we work, may we remember to worship just as much. Hence, the altar on the scaffolding. That's us. May our lives be an offer unto him. From the fourth chapter, the book of Joshua, thus saith the word of the Lord, and may we remember. Now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross again to the ark of our Lord our God, to the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. And they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the feet of the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. As I think about this word and what it means, when we think of a memorial, we think of something tangible. We think of something that we're to look at that represents something else, to be a reminder. Because how often do we forget if something is not before us? But yet I ask you this, how many of us living in our homes, how many of us living in our communities, we've passed this thing, seen it so many times that we don't even recognize it anymore. We forget it's there. So it has to be something, when we think of a memorial, it has to be something that is purposed. It can't just be there because it becomes forgotten. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. Israel set these stones up and they remembered. But I also want you to understand something very real. They took these stones out of the Jordan. Does anybody have any idea what these stones truly represent before the Lord? Because God speaks of a stone later on, doesn't he? For this is the stone that the builders rejected. Who were the builders? It was the Israelites coming into the land. And they all picked up a stone. Now, how big was that stone? It wasn't a pocket-sized stone. What does it say? They carried it on their shoulder. This was a half boulder. Because God wanted it to be something that they would see, something manifest in front of them. And the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone because they forgot. Because God was the one who was delivering them. God came in person in the form of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And he showed himself to be Messiah, and they rejected him, crucifying him on a cross. We rejected him, crucifying him on a cross. Wait a minute, Pastor, I wasn't there that long ago. No, but your sins were, because he's an eternal God, and he knew that you and I were going to fail. He knew that we were going to be men and women of sin because we were born into this sinful body. We are part of the human process. And sin is the original sin that all of us fall to. That sin from Adam and Eve. That sin of deception that came from the serpent and is still here today, tempting us in every way to not see the memorial. What is the memorial in our world? The memorial is you. It is the church. We are here to be a living representation of Christ, each and every one of us. And God tells us that as we walk our lives, as we live before this world, we're no longer our own. Is that not what his word says? We are no longer our own. We were bought at a price, and therefore we belong to him. And then Jesus went on from there, and he taught several other things, and I'm going to get to one of them here in just a moment. But I just want us to focus right now on, is the church giving that example into our world? Are we different than the world, or do we just blend right in that we don't get seen anymore? You see, that's part of the problem. Okay, just this morning I was in my shower getting ready for church, and I just happened to look up and I saw a cobweb above the mirror in my bathroom. And I looked at it and I said, I wonder how long that's been there. Oh well. And I turned away and I didn't think about it for a little bit. And then I went back in to brush my teeth, and of course I had noticed it, so I looked up again. And I thought, now y'all know I smoke, all right? I smoke little cigars. I said, Rich, that's been there a while because it's died with smoke. How long has that thing been there that you were looking at it and just weren't looking at it? I want you to think about what I just said. Because how many people look at us and see us, but don't really see us? But yet, we've been there for quite a while. How many things are in our own lives? How many stones have we set up that are memorials of things that shouldn't be there anymore? And it was amazing to me when I read here that they took these stones and they set them down, and when your sons and daughters talk to you and ask you what these stones are for, you're supposed to tell them. How many of us tell our neighbors about Jesus Christ? How many of us are willing to open our mouths when someone's in trouble or someone's hurting? I think about all of you often, and I do mean this with all my heart, because I pray for you on a daily basis, by name, because I know that it's a hard work. It's a very hard work. And the world comes at us in so many ways. We get so busy. How can I be that memorial every day? Well, it has to be purposed. Wouldn't you agree with me? It truly has to be purposed. Israel set these stones down. Do you think they thought on them very much anymore? I want you to think about this. It says that those stones are still there. Which stones are still there? Because Joshua set up 12 stones. Where did he set them up? What's your scripture say? Where did he set them up? In the water. And they're there to this day. Do you think those people go back to that place and look at it and look for the stones? I would say not, because it's a river. It floods. They've probably moved. How many of us are moving in life? And can we be distinguished from the other rocks in the river? Our lives are meant to be. Because something needs to be different. Something needs to be changed. Jesus Christ came into this world to change the world. Can I get an amen?
Amen on that one.
Because he knew what we were meant to be is not what we were. But he came to change things. And in that change, each and every one of us reckons with ourselves. I can tell you right now, for those of you I've known for a couple of years, you're not the same person you used to be. There are things you don't do anymore, and there are things that you do now that you never did. Can I get an amen? You know, I look at lives, you know, and I can pick on one gentleman. In fact, I am going to pick on him because he and I were similar in many things. We used to go around, Bob, we used to go around and do things we shouldn't do, right? With a whole lot of people that we really shouldn't have been around. And now, and I love this, now I find that, you know, Bob's going around and doing things that he should do with people that we don't really want to associate with, but we should be associating with because they're the ones that need him the most. Isn't that right? Bob's a Gideon. And he goes out there and hands out scriptures to the people who need it the most. That's being a memorial. And each of us has that ability. I mean, I can look over here at Miss Barb, and I know she meets with her lady friends, and they have their study time. And you know, I can go down the list of all of you and the things that we do. And we have to continue. We can't stop. We need to look different than the world. There needs to be a pile of rocks in the river of life and somebody to say, wow, I wonder how that got there. Let me tell you, because that's being a living memorial. We remember, we know, because we have a relationship. That relationship is real. It's not something that happens once a year. It's every day, and it's in every conversation and every form of life. Here they piled up a stone, and they forgot that stone. And we know that because I just told you. What did the scripture say? That this is the stone that the builders rejected. They had it with them when they entered the land. He was there. And once they got into the land, they forgot. We can never forget. But yet we are the same, just as Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So too are we if we do not continue to memorialize him in our being. Because we too will forget. It'll become that cobweb that changes color over time. And all of a sudden we notice it because it lets loose from one place and now it's hanging down in front of the mirror. You know, I use stupid idioms in my sermons, but I'll guarantee you, you won't forget them. Because the next time you're walking through your house and you see a cobweb, you'll say, well, that ain't as bad as pastors. That's cool. You'll remember. And that's what I want. Because that's what God wants from each and every one of us. When I think of where we are and what we're doing, and my goodness, I didn't even pull out my notes yet. I'll tell you, that's a good sermon when I don't even pull my notes out until I'm halfway through. When we think about where this is, that, you know, this was to be a memorial for the people forever from verse 7. And in verse 9, we realize that those rocks are still there. But we know they're displaced. How much of the church has been displaced? I want you to think about what that means. How much of the church has kind of washed down and it's gotten watered around? Okay, y'all catching my drift here? I like how I'm using these water idioms. Because it does. If we aren't purposeful in keeping those stones together and staying that structure, this world has a way of spreading us out, and all of a sudden other things get in there and other things become more important. And we're not going to be that memorial that we could be. But Jesus Christ came, gave himself as a sacrifice that we could be that and so much more. For he has said unto us, for the very things I do, greater things shall you do. And that means we need to be built up into an even bigger monument. And that is the church of Jesus Christ. Folks, I want you to look around right now. This is our first Sunday here in Jonestown. And yes, it's good to see some guests here. And I am grateful for that. But how many of you want to see these pews full? And I don't mean that for numbers' sake. I mean that for souls' sake. Can I get an amen, church? And that's the same thing that I want you folks out there on the internet to understand. No, we don't get to see you, but please respond to us. Let us know you're here. Let us know what's going on in your life. Ask us to pray for you, and we will put you on our prayer list. Talk to us. We are alive, we are real, and we want to know you, that you can grow with us. And we want you to speak about us to the community that is out there. Because this is far greater than any one of us. That's why we can't claim it. because it moves by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And he cannot be contained. And this church, the church of Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about the Heart of Christ church, I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ, shall grow unto the day he calls us home. And we have a work to do. As we see the time approaching and we hear the rumors and the rumbles and the things that are going on. How many of you are watching with what's happening in our financial world right now? Quantum banking is about to take off. It's all supposed to fall into effect on the 26th. I have no idea what that means or what it's going to look like, but it's going to be a change that none of us have ever seen. When we start thinking about where the world's going, are we going to go the way of the world or are we going to go the way of Christ Jesus?
Christ Jesus.
We've got to go the way of Christ Jesus, no matter what the world brings. The floods will come. We know that. But will we rise above the water? And will we be the ark that God wants us to be? To help save mankind from its very self. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. I'm going to be in chapter 5. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. Because this is what I want us to understand as I bring this thing to close today, as I wrap up and give you the hope that is Christ Jesus and where he wants us and how it ties in with the Heart of Christ Church. Because God tells us what to do. He shows us how to live. He gives us that ability to be living memorials, which is going to be hard because it's going to be a work, and it's going to be a work that you need to do every day. It's a work that I need to do every day. But by the grace of God, it's a work that he does in us. And by that, you and I are changed. We're transformed. And every day is new. How many of you wake up now in Christ wondering what's going to happen today? I do all the time. I wake up every day expecting to meet God, to see him in a new and different way. Don't you? What are you going to do today, Lord? And I get to be part of it. How many of us wake up and say, oh, here we go again? Well, let's change that. Let's change that. From verse 1 in chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse joking, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awaken, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Can I get an amen, church? As we understand this word and as we bring this word into our lives, what does it mean to be a living memorial that each of us right here, we're being told, are to be imitators of God? Who is God? Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He is God-man. He is God in human form who came to show us how to live and what to do and where to put our efforts and our energies. And that is exactly what we just read. Don't do any of this impure stuff. Rid yourselves of these things and walk in the righteousness, truth, and light of Jesus Christ. You know, I greet people all the time, and many of you that know me, you've asked me this question. How are you today, Pastor? And what's my response? I'm trying to behave. Yep. I'm behaving. And do you know when I go into a convenience store or Walmart or wherever, and you know, because they always greet you, how are you today? Oh, I'm behaving myself. Do you know what they say to me invariably, even at the bank? Well, you're not having any fun. And I look at them and I smile big and broad because they just opened a door. And I look at them and say, oh, you don't understand. I get to have more fun than anything. Because in Christ Jesus, I don't have to remember anything. Because if all I do is go out there and have fun and do mischief, I got to remember what I did, what I said, and try to put it all together. But when I'm behaving, I can do anything in Christ Jesus, and I don't have to remember a thing. Talk about an absent memory. Because it's all truth. You remember the truth instantly, but you've got to think to remember a lie. And I love walking in truth and light. Because again, it's not hard. But what is hard is getting rid of the darkness. Separating yourself from that darkness. And when we separate ourselves from that darkness, we need to remember that we were formerly those things. But now we are children of light. And our hearts should be light. And in every day and in every way, as we greet one another, we greet each other in a love and a respect and an honor that does not say, what can I get from you? But it literally says, how can I serve you? And what a life that is. You know, I think of our little ones. Now, they're all downstairs and separate from us. But how many of these little ones that are here trust us? It is amazing to me when I walk into the church, and it's funny too, because as a pastor, the kids fear you, because it's like, he's that guy that stands up front. Is he God? And believe me, I've heard those questions before. Is he? In fact, I remember, this was a long time ago, Missy, do you remember this? We were coming, walking through church, and one of your kids said, there's God, as they walked past my office. And Missy had to correct him and say, no, that's just Pastor Rich. But that's what our lives should be, that when someone looks upon us, they don't see us. Who do they see? As that child seen the righteousness and goodness of the Lord, may we emulate that in this world. You know I'm not all that. You're adults. You see me for who I am. I am flawed. I do have imperfections. But I'm trying. And as I've said, my mama always told me I was the most trying person she ever knew. And now I'm grateful for it. And may you be too. That we try every day to be better. Every day to be the light of Jesus Christ. Every day to be a living memorial. And I'm going to tell you right now, God has given us three commands that sum that all up. And we read it. Because it says here to us, let's read it again from the beginning of the chapter, from verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. As what? Beloved children. And walk where? In love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice. May we live our lives the way we speak it, loving God, loving others, and going into our world. That is the life of a living memorial. Can I get an amen?
Amen, brother.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the love, grace, power, and perfection that is yourself. For Lord, we need you every day. And as we submit ourselves to you, Lord, may the world see you through us. May our lives truly be a living memorial. And may you, through our actions, help transform others to bring them to the saving grace we know, that the church of Jesus Christ may grow and that salvation would be their hope and their hope in you, whose name is Jesus Christ. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.